You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja.
We love the earth.
It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, December 21st, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It also has to be the solstice. That's right, the winter solstice is today. The shortest period of daylight in the Northern Hemisphere. The day is still 24 hours long, but the least amount of daylight here in the Northern Hemisphere. For our friends in the Southern Hemisphere, it's the longest period of daylight of the year. So things are looking up for us here and getting colder for them there. All sorts of great stuff on today's show. We've got Riley Cote on today's show, the former NHL left wing for the Philadelphia Flyers. He's on our cannabis sports medicine segment talking about the development of cannabinoid medicines for elite athletes. So that's coming up in the middle of the show. Also on the program today in the Radical Rant, we're going to take a look at that case of Sweet Leaf down there in Denver, Colorado, where the bud tenders got busted for selling over an ounce. But it looks like they may not have actually technically violated any rules or laws. So we'll take a look at that coming up in the rant. Also on the show today in What in the News, we take a look north at the state of Washington, which having messed up recreational legalization as badly as they possibly could, is now working on messing up industrial hemp. It's a crazy story about industrial hemp in Washington, and this latest development makes it even worse. So we'll get to that right after the cannabis headline news. All sorts of stories in the news today, especially a good one here when it comes to legal cannabis and minors here in my home state of Oregon. But before we get to all that, I got to cover this this story that just popped across my desk right before airtime. And my hat is off to the folks at Jack in the Box, you know, the fast food restaurant. For years, they have been marketing to us tokers, stoners, potheads, whatever label you like, with a little bit of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you know, the munchie meal and the stoner dudes at the drive-thru and all that kind of stuff. It's always been kind of a subtle nod to those of us who enjoy our cannabis. Well, folks, the wink, wink, nudge, nudge days are over. Mary Jane, you know that lifestyle company, marijuana company Snoop Dogg has founded? Mary Jane is teaming up with Jack in the Box for a Merry Munchie meal. You can only get it in the LBC, but it's on, man.
This is your cannabis headline news. Brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net. The complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at marijuanamoment.net.
This is your cannabis headline news for Thursday, December 21st, 2017. I'm Russ Belville. Licensed retailers of marijuana in Central Oregon passed a recent sting operation with 100% of those tested refusing to allow minors to enter a pot shop to purchase legal cannabis products. On December 19th, 2017, OLCC marijuana inspectors visited 20 marijuana retailers in Central Oregon, and all the 20 businesses visited in Bend and Lapine passed a check for prohibiting sales to a minor volunteer. Quote, that our licensed retailers in Central Oregon scored 100% on refusal to sell marijuana to a minor is a sign that this segment of our regulated industry understands the importance of compliance, said Steve Marks, executive director of the OLCC, continuing, as we continue these checks, I hope that these results will be reflected across the state, end quote. Federal survey data released this month show that Oregon has experienced a slight uptick in teen marijuana use. However, Oregon teens still use marijuana at a rate lower than the year prior to marijuana legalization there. Reuters reports that Mexico will legalize sales of marijuana-based medicines, foods, drinks, cosmetics, and other products early next year, its health regulator said on Wednesday. Mexico legalized the use of marijuana for medical and scientific needs in June, but has maintained a ban on recreational use and cultivation. Arturo Tornel, spokesman for health regulator COFEPRIS, says that the agency plans to formally publish the regulation for pot-based goods within days, allowing those items to enter the Mexico market as soon as a month later. He added that COFEPRIS distributors and retailers to import the items, with some companies eventually producing items in Mexico using marijuana grown abroad. This regulation does not apply to sales of pure marijuana. Recreational marijuana is still broadly prohibited in Mexico, but in 2015, the Supreme Court granted four people the right to grow their own marijuana for personal consumption, opening the door to legalization. Lawrence Chip Muir, the acting chief of staff and general counsel for the Office of National Drug Control Policy, was suddenly dismissed from his job Tuesday afternoon, multiple sources familiar with the matter told CNN. Until his dismissal, Muir had been busy with efforts to obtain congressional reauthorization for the Drug Czar's office, which has languished for years, the sources said. The Office of National Drug Control Policy has yet to comment on Muir's departure. Sources familiar with the shakeup at the agency question whether the administration is truly putting its muscle behind the opioid crisis. About 60 to 70 employees work for the agency. The Office of National Drug Control Policy is led by its acting director, Richard Baum. Muir, a political appointee, had access to key meetings at the White House aimed at curbing the opioid epidemic. Governor Chris Christie today signed a bipartisan package of bills that changes and modernizes New Jersey's expungement system. The first of three bills strengthens the original Ban the Box legislation by further preventing employees from making any oral, written, or online inquiries about the candidate's criminal record and from using an online application that requires disclosure of an applicant's criminal record, including an expungement criminal record. The second bill shortens certain waiting periods for expungement eligibility and increases the number of convictions that may be expunged, including possession of marijuana with the intent to sell up to 1 ounce. The third bill allows young adults to expunge their juvenile records 2 years sooner than current law permits. Quote, "We want to give those overcoming incarceration or the disease of addiction, young offenders, and all who have earned and deserve it, a second chance at life," end quote, said Christie. Dana Beal, a marijuana activist whose advocacy dates to the 1960s counterculture, has been arrested in California, toting 22 pounds of illegal marijuana, prosecutors said Wednesday. Beal, age 70, of New York, was arrested Saturday in far northern California after prosecutors said his rental car was spotted weaving across the road and driving 20 miles below the speed limit. James Statzer, age 51, of Michigan, was also arrested. The arrest occurred along a well-traveled highway in California's famed Emerald Triangle area, known for its high-grade pot. A police dog smelled marijuana during the stop, and 22 pounds of the herb was found. Defense attorney Tom Belanco said it's not clear if his two clients thought they were acting illegally. It's not uncommon for traffickers to think they can now transport pot risk-free, said Deputy District Attorney Colleen Murray, who is prosecuting the case. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Thursday, December 21st, 2017. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. The Marijuana Agenda is a listener-supported independent podcast brought to you by Radical Russ Media, LLC. Subscribe to our VIP feed at MJAgenda.com for access to our ad-free podcast segment archive. Make a one-time donation to support The Marijuana Agenda at paypal.me/radicalruss. You're not high. You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
And one of the parts of the American dream is we're going to come down very, very hard on this massive drug problem.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal potland Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House. Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
People can say no to drugs.
It's really, really easy.
Adding more gasoline to the fire.
Lackadaisical.
Really tough, really big, really great
to infect and rot our nation.
Dangerous and gateway drugs.
We don't need to be legalizing marijuana.
To build and grow a stronger, healthier, and drug-free society.
Today in What in the News, we take a look at the state of Washington, which was one of the first two states to legalize marijuana back in 2012. And we have covered that issue quite in depth here on the show and noted how Washington State has legalized marijuana the worst of any of the states that have done so. It infamously failed to include home grow rights for cannabis cultivators, the only state that has not allowed home grow rights so far. The state is currently looking at that. They've had some meetings, some task forces. They've polled the people to ask if they want these home grow rights. And of course, the people do. They've offered three possibilities. One is to keep things the way they are, keep busting people who grow their own cannabis plants. And the other two proposals are to allow people to grow four cannabis plants if they get a permit from the state. And that's four plants per household. And the difference between the two proposals is in the second proposal, local governments could ban that. So you might have either a limited home grow with a license only in, let's say, King County and Spokane and just a few of the urban areas, or you might have statewide home grow rights, again, with a state-required permit. This would be the most restrictive home grow law in the country. The other seven states and the District of Columbia that have legalized have seen no need to go to this level. Washington State would even require reporting to the state on how much you're harvesting and how much you're storing and so forth. So when it comes to marijuana legalization, Washington State has screwed it up as badly as it can be screwed up. And in the wake of them screwing that up, they've also screwed up the state's medical system far beyond what the voters intended, depriving patients of medicine and access. It's just been a train wreck, if you'll pardon that expression. I shouldn't have said that. In the state of Washington, my bad, I apologize, too soon. But this this is gone worse, actually. it's as if they looked at marijuana and they said, all right, we screwed this up bad enough. What else could we screw up? And one of the things that was famously missing from Washington State's legalization of marijuana for psychoactive purposes was any sort of legalization of cannabis for industrial purposes. We're talking about industrial hemp. A lot of people don't know this, but when Washington State legalized marijuana, they did not legalize industrial hemp. And so we had this weird situation for the past 5 years in Washington State where if you wanted to grow big, bushy cannabis plants with big, fat buds laden with THC to get people high, you can get a license and do that. But if you wanted to grow a field of cannabis hemp with little to no THC in it that would never get anybody high, you could be busted. You could be busted for felonies. It's just the strangest, most upside-down situation. Now, last year, Washington State got around to addressing that. And finally, this year, the bill made its way through, and they passed a bill and legalized industrial hemp. So they created a hemp program. The Washington State Department of Agriculture started issuing hemp licenses. They got people with hemp in the ground that are growing it. And now it looks as though that program is going to die. The story I'm getting is from Capital Press, the West's ag website. No help for hemp in Washington budget proposal. So what's going on here is that Washington State's budget, the governor there, Jay Inslee, is submitting his budget to the 2018 legislature, and it doesn't have any money for the hemp program. Department of Agriculture says it needs $287,000 to oversee hemp cultivation in the next biennium for 2018-2019. But the Inslee administration isn't going to lobby for any money for the Department of Ag to handle the licensing. So there's 30 states that allow hemp growing. And again, none of them seem to have this sort of problem. They've always all managed to set up a system where the licensing fees manage to pay for the cost of regulating, where Colorado, Oregon, Kentucky, all these places have hemp crops in the ground, and they're making great strides in research, great progress in understanding that crop and developing its full industrial potential. But the Washington State program built themselves in such a way that the Department of Agriculture isn't raising enough money from the fees and from the farmers and from the handlers of hemp, from the processors, not raising enough money to be able to fund the program. Now, keep in mind, this is running alongside a recreational marijuana program that has hundreds of growers cultivating full THC, thick bud cannabis that is just flush with cash, just got plenty of money rolling in. Why can't some of that money provide the licensing for industrial hemp? Why is there a problem in coming up with just $287,000? Hell, one pot shop can make that in profit in a week, if not a day, right? I mean, this is crazy. So because of this shortfall, because they don't have the $287,000, the Washington State Department of Agriculture isn't issuing any new hemp licenses and not renewing licenses either. And the current hemp licenses begin expiring in June. You know, just as you're starting to get the crop in the ground, starting to get some cultivation going, your license is going to expire. And that, according to the department, the $287,000 couldn't be made up simply by raising the fees on the farmers. So this is just absolutely crazy. Joy Beckerman, a longtime friend of the show, guest for our Hemp Day Hump Day segment, says, quote, "We are overregulated here in Washington State. We need to change the rules." Now, one of the rules that is hamstringing this industry is a prohibition on cultivating these hemp crops for CBD, for cannabidiol. Now, here in Oregon, we're allowing that. So right south of the border in Washington State, you got farmers here in Oregon that are cultivating great hemp crops specifically for the extraction of cannabidiol for medical purposes. Washington State forbid that. And because of that, they're not able to raise the money. I mean, if you allowed the cultivation of hemp for CBD, the demand for those licenses would be so great, you'd easily make up enough money to run this industrial hemp program. Beckerman agrees. She says, quote, "The prohibition on CBD extraction needs to be lifted. That's what is actually in demand. If we don't change the law to allow for CBD extraction and remove the most burdensome and unnecessary regulations, basically, it's a non-starter. There are too many barriers to entry," end quote. Exactly. And that's something we talk about on that Hemp Day segment all the time, is that you can have people growing as much hemp as you want, but if you're lacking the infrastructure to process it, to process the fiber, to process it into plastics, the lack of that infrastructure is the big problem right now. These farmers know if they grow hemp right now, it's just basically for research because they've got nowhere to take it, nowhere to take that hemp to get it processed. So banning CBD extraction, something that is already happening in Washington State on the medical side, right? We've already got, again, you can grow cannabis under a recreational license or under a medical permit, chock full of THC and CBD and extract the CBD from that. But the problem there is the demand in that market is for THC, and it squeezes out any production of the CBD. We need the hemp market to be providing that CBD. There was 175 acres of hemp that were cultivated in Washington this year. 175. Here in Oregon, 3,469 acres. And the leading state, Colorado, more than 9,000 acres of hemp. So Washington State, you brought this on yourself. You haven't licensed enough growers. You haven't given them enough. There's not enough acreage being cultivated. You're not allowing them to cultivate it for the most in-demand part of that plant. And your license fees are so low that you can't make up the budget. This is just, again, the state shooting itself in the foot, not understanding the mechanism by which this market could thrive. Washington State could be a leader in this market, but the lawmakers and the rulemakers there in that state just seem bound and determined to mess up every opportunity they get. And it's hard for me to understand. I think some of them are some really well-meaning people, but they must think that pot is plutonium or porn or PCP or something, the way they want to restrict it so much. These artificial restrictions, these artificial barriers, are squashing a nascent industry that could do so much for the state of Washington in providing a tax revenue base, in helping to rebuild schools, in helping to build up infrastructure, maybe, put on some safety devices on our Amtrak lines. Anything would be better than letting this program go to waste and letting those farmers' crops just lie fallow in the fields.
Let's get out of here. I have some really good weed back at the hotel.
But really, how badly can you mess this up, Washington? What a shame. I guess somebody has to stand as the negative example. All right, we're going to take a short pause for the good cause. Time for a union-mandated safety briefing. And when we come back after our public service announcement of the day, we've got cannabis sports medicine and former NHL player Riley Cote.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. The Marijuana Agenda free podcast is available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, SoundCloud, and on our Facebook page at MJ Agenda. Free video archives are available at the Radical Russ channel on YouTube. Help keep this media free by making a donation at paypal.me/radicalruss. Now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
Okay, last time. This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
This has been an actual anti-drug public service announcement. To combat this and other drug war hysteria, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific at live.mjagenda.com or download the free podcast at mjagenda.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The Marijuana Agenda, like the conservative agenda, minus the hypocrisy.
Buddy, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Athletes have long been held out as role models in our society, but now the conflict between societal disapproval of marijuana use and the emerging science of cannabis medicine, especially as it relates to chronic pain and head trauma suffered by football players and martial artists, is leading some athletes to take a stand. The Gridiron Cannabis Coalition presents this edition of Cannabis Sports Medicine.
Welcome to another edition of Cannabis Sports Medicine. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us today, we have Riley Cote, who spent 8 years with the Philadelphia Flyers in the National Hockey League, and he's joining us today to talk about a new organization that he is the co-founder of. So, Riley, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, really excited about this organization that you started. It's called Athletes for Care. And we've talked to professional football players in the past on this program that are seeking medical marijuana access for athletes. You're our first National Hockey League player. Tell us about this organization and how you got it formed.
Yeah, so Athletes for Care is, you know, simply a platform for not specifically pro athletes, but all athletes, including veterans, and really kind of extends to all people, but using our platforms as athletes is to create a platform for these people to help manage physical pain, acute pain, which you know, a lot of these athletes suffer from during or post career, as well as mental health issues, addiction issues, and just helping them get back on their feet physically and mentally. So not exclusively cannabis and hemp oriented. We also, you know, dip into nutritional healing, other botanical healing, yoga, meditation. So it's more of a alternative healing platform, but really kind of, you know, focusing on the hemp and cannabis, since it obviously helps so quickly and so obviously. So, you know, introducing them to that if they haven't been introduced to that before, helping with dosing, seeking them, you know, depending on what state and where they're living, helping with that whole spiel, as well as, you know, a lot of these guys suffer from an identity crisis once they retire. Is they really don't know who they are anymore because they were always just the name, a part of a team, and that was their identity their whole lives. That, you know, giving these guys some purpose. You know, I think cannabis is the perfect connector for this, simply because it helps, obviously, your own pain, helps you manage your own symptoms and conditions, but also it's gives you the ability to help other people. And cannabis is special that way, where, you know what I mean, I think people can use their platform, as pro sports or whatnot, to, you know, to help other people, and, you know, use your platform to stand your ground and preach your position on this, all this stuff. So I think a lot of these guys lack identity. It helps with purpose, but also on top of all that is gives these guys investment opportunities, job opportunities, speaking engagements, and that whole thing. Because obviously, with the emerging cannabis and hemp space, there's a ton of opportunity, but again, like I said, the connection with cannabis is something special about it, where it's a healing plant. I mean, it's special that way. So I think, you know, all in all, it's just an opportunity for guys to help, a resource to help guys heal, but also to help others get involved in the space in whatever capacity they desire.
Riley, how did you become aware of the medical benefits of cannabis? Had this been something that was a part of you or your family's life in any way?
It was certainly part of my life. I had been introduced to cannabis at a young age, 15. Obviously, didn't really understand it at all back then. It was a recreational thing. It ended up being around a lot of times when you're drinking and partying as a young teenager. But as I got a little bit older, as I turned pro and started playing pro hockey, I started to really get to understand the therapeutic properties of cannabis. And I started, you know, consuming it without alcohol and other substances. So I think I removed the fog and started to understand the plant a little bit more that way. So I used cannabis regularly through my whole career. So I've always on, you know, always an advocate for it, and I always believed in it deep down in my soul. It's just one of those things. It's like, you know, when societies, mainly all societies, thinking one way and I'm thinking the other way. I thought it was a little bit crazy at times. Like, you know, your soul is kind of speaking to you. This is helping you, but you know, the law said otherwise, and you know, science said otherwise, which is total crock of crap in my opinion. But nonetheless, I stuck with it and believed in it, and you know, continued to use it. So I've always had a pretty good understanding of, you know, the healing side of it, therapeutic side of it. But it wasn't until I really understood the nutritional profile of the hemp seed is when I really started to understand the cannabis and the cannabis plant in its entirety, and you know, learning about the building materials and the, you know, textiles, the food source, and understanding the CBD specifically. So I really started becoming really passionate about the plants. And actually in 2011, when I retired, I started my own 501c3 called the Hemp Heals Foundation. So that was my own, you know, project that I, you know, started to, you know, educate people and kind of create awareness in Pennsylvania and try and help, you know, move legislation forward, which we have successfully done since, 2011. But, on the sports side of things is when I really got passionate about integrating cannabis and hemp sports as a recovery tool. So myself and a few others, including Evan Britton, Nate Jackson, and Jake Plummer, and these guys, joined forces and, you know, trying to create a national platform to, again, use our athletic backgrounds to help raise this message above and beyond where it is currently. You know, I think if athletes promote something in a positive way, people seem to resonate a little bit, you know, closer with these things. So, again, cannabis is a positive thing. We just need to take it out of this, you know, this dark, underground light and bring it to light. And I think that's, you know, that's what we're trying to do. You know, CBD and THC is a recovery tool. Again, it's with work versus recovery. We're trying to relax the body. We're trying to manage pain. We're trying to lower anxieties, lower stressors, and trying to promote sleep. You know, all these things are part of the recovery process. So cannabis is the perfect tool. It's just you know, a lot of education that needs to be done. And on top of all that, it's physical sports, is the neuroprotecting properties of CBD and other cannabinoids. So there's all these different areas we can attack this thing from a sports perspective, but it's not to say that these exact things that athletes go through that regular average people don't go through. It's all pain, it's all anxiety, it's all depression, it's all managing sleep. So it's just a little bit more acute with athletes. So we just really decided to come together and create an all sports national platform to, again, create awareness, but to show that cannabis is a positive thing. It's part of alternative healing world, and really is a huge tool that some of us are using, but a lot of people aren't, and they're funneled down these poisonous paths of highly addictive opiates and muscle relaxers, anti-inflammatories, and sleep aids that create dependency and ultimately some other issues down the road. So we want to keep our guys clean and healthy minded and spirited, and cannabis is the perfect tool for that.
You played hockey in the National Hockey League, which is kind of notable because it's the only pro sports league in America that's not testing for cannabinoids as part of its substance abuse program or its drug testing regime. Is hockey more amenable to the idea of medical cannabis, do you think, than, say, the NFL or these other sports leagues?
I'm not sure of that, to tell you the truth. I didn't even know they didn't test because, as far as I can remember, when I played, I got tested 3 times a year. But what I do know about the testing is it's very, very, they like to turn a blind eye to THC, from what I understand, because I would test it positive every time. So would half of my teammates. There was a couple different tests. There was A, B, and C. A was performance enhancing drugs. You tested positive for any of those, obviously, steroids, any sort of, methamphetamine or anything that, clearly improves performance is a performance enhancing drug. 25 game suspension, no pay, and it becomes public. The second test is street drugs, cocaine, ecstasy, THC, and whoever else in there. You don't lose pay. It's 30 days in the substance abuse program and does not become public. I don't know anybody that's ever been tested strictly for tested positive for THC that got thrown in the substance abuse program. There's always guys that tested positive for higher amounts of cocaine or ecstasy or whatever else, and then they also tested positive for THC. They were thrown in the substance abuse program. Not because of the THC, but just in addition to. And the third one is the placebo. They don't test it. So you have, 1 in 3 chances of not getting tested at all, 1 in 3 chances of getting tested for street drugs, and 1 in 3 chances of getting tested for performance-enhancing drugs. But like I said, I don't know anybody that's been put in the program for strictly THC. So I think it's one of those things they just turn a blind eye to.
Gotcha.
But they might have changed that since I retired. I thought they still tested for it, but I could be wrong. You might be right on that. But I know when I played, I got tested 3 times a year every year that I played. So, think compared to football and the rest of the sports, it's definitely it's definitely softer. But I don't think that their stance is any stronger than I don't think that the NHL stance is like pro cannabis. I just think they. They kind of just let it hide in the weeds a little bit, no pun intended. And where NFL is like literally going after guys. I think it's an 80 nanogram limit or whatever it is, and they're popping guys left and right. So I think NHL is kind of just like let's guys do their thing as long as it's within reason.
Well, Riley, let's tell our listeners how they can get in touch with Athletes for Care and learn more, or donate, or volunteer to help the organization.
Absolutely, yeah. It's athletesforcare.org, and it's a recently established 501c3, and we got a ton of former athletes involved already: UFC fighters, NFL players, hockey players, and to women snowboarders and triathlon athletes, and all that good stuff. So you can go online, learn more about that. We're going to be implementing a few different programs here in the very near future, and we do a ton of different cannabis events. We have sports panels where we're talking about all the stuff we're talking about here is cannabis as a recovery tool, but also as a neuroprotectant and helping with concussions and CTE. So we're trying to get across across the map here in the next year and really kind of nailing down a foundation. But for the time being, there's an opportunity to check out online, athletesforcare.com or athletesforcare.org, sorry, and to learn more about us. It's just, it's fresh. There's been a bunch of different groups that are kind of quietly and done their own, sports groups specifically to their sport, but I think this has kind of broadened it. They're not exclusively just football players or UFC or just hockey. It's under one umbrella. The veterans are in there. They're all the ultimate athlete. Everyone needs this medicine. It's not exclusive to athletes, but that's the platform we're taking here. So it's, again, it's education. It's kind of, changing the way people perceive this plant, and it's a tool. It just needs to be looked at like one. Just you got to take it out of the darkness, bring it to light, and just talk about its positivity.
Riley Cote with Athletes for Care. Check them out at athletesforcare.org to learn more about the organization. Riley, thanks so much for spreading the news and joining us on the program today.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is brought to you by Cannabis Kamikaze, a professional licensed producer from Canada producing 3 pounds per light. Follow Cannabis Kamikaze on Twitter at Cannabis Kamikaze. That's at Cannabis, K-A-M-I-K-A-Z. Cannabis Kamikaze.
You're not high. You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
We need to say, as Nancy Reagan said, just say no. Don't do it. There's no excuse for this.
Okay, maybe you're a little high. Despite what you may have heard, CBD is not, quote, legal in all 50 states. The DEA is quite clear that cannabidiol is a Schedule I controlled substance banned in all 50 states. Think about it. Why would 17 states pass laws legalizing CBD, and why would there be 3 bills in Congress to legalize CBD federally if CBD were already legal in all 50 states?
Health Cannabinoid, your ACMPR experts. Consultation services for medical cannabis. Visit healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. That's www.healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. Health Cannabinoid.
Total war against public enemy number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Just say no.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
I am ill.
That was the point.
I think we'd be a mistake to leave the state.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Don't smoke marijuana.
Well, we've been covering this story in Denver, Colorado, from the Sweet Leaf dispensary chain. And in the story, 13 bud tenders got arrested and charged. And there were 26 licenses that were suspended for the Denver-based chain that shut down all its locations there. And there's actually a Sweet Leaf that's just 8 blocks away here in Portland from Delta 9 Studios. So it is, quite a big chain. And this was the culmination of a year-long investigation by the Denver Police Department having to do with a practice that they call looping. And looping is when you go in, you buy an ounce of weed, then you go back out, you put your weed in the car or whatever, and then you go back in and buy another ounce of weed, and you keep buying ounces and ounces of weed so you can take them out of state. Sell them for big money, right? So they want to clamp down on that. They want to make sure that doesn't happen. And so they conducted these sting operations, and all throughout 2017 and late 2016, they conducted these sting operations where undercovers would go in and buy their ounce and then go back out, go back in, buy another ounce, and so forth. And so these bud tenders get busted
for violating the rules, violating the law, that you can't sell more than an ounce to anyone. And I ranted about this earlier about how, you know, unfair this was that, you know, you're coming down on the retail sales clerk. Meanwhile, the guys that run the place, you know, that make all the money, they don't see any charges in this situation. So that was already frustrating enough. But now I get this story from Marijuana Business Daily online, MJ Biz Daily. And it's entitled Sweet Leaf Raids Highlight Need for Clarity in Colorado's Marijuana Enforcement Regulations. And so here's the problem is that the rules, according to this MJ Biz Daily piece, the rules stipulate that a retail cannabis store can't sell more than 1 ounce in a single transaction. But the law doesn't spell out how much can be sold over the course of a day. So these workers are being charged with, you know, selling multiple ounces in separate transactions. And some of the bud tenders were charged with felonies for selling more than 4 ounces in one day to the same person. But in the transaction itself, they were never selling any more than 1 ounce, as far as I understand. And the way the law is spelled out, they can't sell more than 1 ounce in a single transaction. If you follow the letter of the law, the way I read it, they followed the law. There's nothing in that rule that stipulated multiple transactions in a 24-hour period or transactions totaling more than the legal amount to carry. No, more than 1 ounce in a single transaction. And these stores aren't required to keep the name of the person and how much they bought and some sort of database to be able to actually track and find out, you know, who's buying too much. So coming down on these bud tenders who have families and who have lives and they can't afford lawyers. I mean, this just seems cruel for a law that is needlessly vague. Now, they've fixed the law. According to the story here, on January 1st, new regulations go into effect that say, quote, a retail marijuana store and its employees are prohibited from transferring more than 1 ounce of retail marijuana flower or its equivalent in retail marijuana concentrate or retail marijuana product in a single transaction to a consumer. A single transaction includes multiple transfers to the same consumer during the same business day where the retail marijuana store employee knows or reasonably should know that such transfer would result in that consumer possessing more than 1 ounce of marijuana, end quote. Okay, now that's specific. That's saying a single transaction is person A going to dispensary B within a 24-hour day, whether it's multiple trips or not. I still think calling it a single transaction is a little weird, but all right. You're saying a single day's worth of trade, no more than an ounce. If that's the way the rule was written back then sure, you have right to come down on these bud tenders. But when the rule was no more than an ounce in a single transaction, and you're just expecting them to infer that, oh, gosh, if I sold this guy another ounce, he'd have 2 ounces and he'd be violating the law, is absurd. These charges need to be dropped against these bud tenders. Even there's no reason to bring this to trial. They didn't have any intent in breaking the law. They thought they were following the law as it was written. This is just sad to be holding these retail level employees who certainly don't have a lot of money and time to be defending themselves in the court of law over what is bad regulation, what is poor public policy, what is a badly written rule. That's something that the state, that the city of Denver, they should just chalk this one up as a learning experience, drop the charges against these guys, make sure everybody understands that in 11 days there's a new rule that specifically says you can't sell an ounce to a same person in a single day. Let's go ahead and go forward with that. But let's not ruin these people's lives and cause all this heartache and shut down these locations and people depending on their salaries and their jobs because the government messed up the rule. All right, that's all the time we got for today, but we'll be back tomorrow with more news and views you can use for the cannabis community. It's our annual Festivus special, a Festivus for the rest of us.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
For everyone here at Delta 9 House and Studios, I'm Radical Russ Belville. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
You're growing, you're growing, you're smoking. And then you'll see, you're growing.